And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Some say it all began 14.6 billion years ago. I say, maybe. Some say the Earth was formed 4.2 billion years ago. I say, probably. Some say Earth Day began April 22nd, 1970. I say, Happy Earth Day 2004. Today is our special Earth Day celebration, and lots of others from all across America will be joining us for this historic tribute to the Earth here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Happy Earth Day 2004. It was 34 years ago today that millions joined together in a united demonstration on behalf of the environment. The birth of the first Earth Day has led to what we are all part of today, that is, a sense and a dedication to something most of all of us understand. The Earth, the living systems, nature, wilderness, forests, mountains, birds, whales, bears, skunks, people, communities, and life are all interconnected. We are all beneficiaries of the first Earth Day. It has resulted in legislation, education, and integration of wills and voices for nature and our Earth. And it has its own life, sometimes strong, sometimes under attack. But we are back. And the Wild Side News is a proud voice to broadcast the voices of those who get it, that nature does matter. We're going to spend all of today's show hearing from people all across America who will call in on our toll-free number, 888-327-0061, with their Earth Day tributes. I invite you to begin calling in now and become part of this historic record. To help us get things started right, I'm going to turn this over to a very distinguished guest, Kathleen Rogers, who is president of the Earth Day Network, who will greet you and inspire all of us this Earth Day to do what needs to be done. Kathleen Rogers, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you so much.
I want to invite you to greet our listeners and share your thoughts for this very special Earth Day 2004.
Well, I'm very happy to be on, and thank you so much for inviting me. It's a very exciting day, and I think your listeners can be proud of the fact that as environmentalists or as people who care about the Earth, they are joining together today with at least 500 million to 600 million people who are also participating in Earth Day in over 170 countries.
That's absolutely astonishing. It really has grown immensely. Why don't you give us a little history about Earth Day, which now I believe is 34 years old.
It's actually the 35th. I had to sit there with a pen and do the math, but it's the 35th Earth Day, but our 34th anniversary.
That's true.
And Earth Day started in 1970. It began with a speech that Senator Gaylord Nelson from Wisconsin made at an event in Seattle, Washington in September 1969 calling for an environmental teach-in. He hired some staff, including Dennis Hayes, who went on to be the organizer of the first Earth Day, and that first Earth Day brought 25 million people out into the streets. And the interesting thing about that is that I thought when I first took this job that the first Earth Day was sort of connected to the anti-war movement, and in fact it was, but when you look at the photo archives, you find that Earth Day was very middle class. The event in New York City was all suits. It was amazing. There were more than a million people in Grand Central and in Central Park and on Fifth Avenue, and they were not sort of the tie-dyed hippie people that you'd expect, but regular people who came out to talk about and talk to each other about what was going on at the time. It's hard to imagine if you weren't there, and certainly a lot of people alive were very aware of what was going on in 1970, but our rivers were on fire. People were ill. You couldn't see across many streets in America during rush hour because of the pollution. Exposure to toxics and pesticides were, although still common today, they were very, very common in 1970. Children were ill. There weren't any real environmental laws to protect us. In fact, growing out of the first Earth Day as a direct result of it and the subsequent political campaigns that took place the next year was the first Earth EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, and a lot of the community right to know laws that protect all of our communities against siting of unwanted facilities, or to gives us the opportunity to find out what our government's doing or corporations are doing to our neighborhoods. So a lot of that can be traced back to Earth Day, which I sort of view as the birth of the modern environmental movement.
I totally agree. I think a lot of people really have forgotten that at that time in 1970, things were on a path that really were almost out of control. There was sort of an unfettered sense that things could be used, that there was an unlimited resource, and that if you cut down trees, it didn't matter. It was really out of a youthful ignorance that America was at that point, and it did take a wake-up call. It really took action, and I know at times it's been very direct. I know, but at this point, we've educated ourselves. We've put this into legislation, and we are extraordinary beneficiaries of what began in 1970. Just in terms of our consciousness about what health means and what can affect us, really it does trace back to Earth Day. Now, the founder, of course, was Gaylord Nelson.
That's right.
And I tell us a little bit about Gaylord, and then we'll move on to some other things here, but I would like to give him tribute.
He is just a terrific person. He's still on our board. I think he's in his... I don't ask him, but I think he's in his mid to late 80s. He's actually out in Wisconsin today doing a lot of Earth Day activities with his daughter. He was a senator from Wisconsin and came up with this idea because he cared about it and was involved in it. And he's just, I believe, released his biography, or autobiography, I think, in the last few days, which has been well received, and he's very excited about that. He went on to work on some of the specifics and the legislative specifics of the Clean Air and Clean Water Act, and so he not only came up with the idea, but he stuck around long enough to make sure that it would have some what I call sort of civic or democracy or political related outcomes. And so he has reason, and his family does, to know that he's left an incredible legacy, and he's still working very, very hard. So it's our tribute to him and to the other people that, you know, brought us all these environmental laws.
Kathleen, we actually have some wonderful callers on the line already from Wisconsin and from Washington, D.C. What I'd like to do is have you tell our listeners how they can be involved in Earth Days around the country. What are some ways that they can really find out what's going on in their own community and become involved?
Well, there are two things quickly. Our big theme domestically, we have two themes, a global theme of water, fresh water, because we consider that one of the biggest threats of the 21st century after climate change. But our domestic theme is, if you want to do one thing on Earth Day, register to vote. People always do things on Earth Day, so we invite everybody to go to our website, which at the moment is a little slow because we're experiencing extraordinary traffic on our website. So be patient if you log on, but you can register to vote on our website and find virtually thousands of activities that would be in your neighborhood or your community. And if you can't find anything, you can call our office because we have a lot of people taking calls today. Our website is www.earthday.net or org, either one, O-R-G, and our telephone number is 202-518-0044. So either way, we're ready to help you, and we have lots of events going on in a brand new set of communities, including many communities where we have large numbers of low-income people and people of color who we really want to bring into this very broad environmental movement and make them part of that movement.
Kathleen, you're welcome to hold on the line. as you will. Perhaps we can get a little dialogue going. I'm now going to talk to our first caller, and this is, I'm looking at my board here. I'm going to learn this pretty soon. Kelly Van Egren, who is from Wisconsin, and the Aldo Leopold Nature Center. Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Welcome.
Well, and thanks, and welcome to the Wildside News on this Earth Day. First of all, when the callers call in, I'd love to hear, just get a little sense of what's actually happening as you look outside right now. What's the weather like? What's it feel like?
Well, it's a little overcast, but it's not too bad out. It's not raining, so, you know, we're happy. So, lovely out. We burned our prairie about 3 weeks ago, and it's coming up gorgeous, green. Our wildflowers and are blooming, and it's gorgeous.
Now, tell us a little bit about your organization, and also then share with us your thoughts on this Earth Day.
Sure. Our organization was started in 1994, and we provide environmental education to children, their families, and teachers. Servicing about 28,000 individuals per year. What we want to do is teach admiration and respect of nature so children will grow up with a wonderful sense of what it's all about, land stewardship and management, and be able to make positive choices regarding the environment.
Also, why don't you tell us a little bit about Aldo Leopold? I'm sure almost everybody knows, but go ahead and give us your best shot on that one, because he's a legend.
As everybody probably knows, he is the author of the Sand County Almanac and an ecologist and conservationist who really started the idea of the land ethic and stewardship. We base a lot of our teachings on his work and like to look to him and his philosophies as a guiding light. His daughter, Nina Leopold Bradley, is an honorary chair on our board. We're thrilled to have her. Here at the Nature Center, we have built a 3/4 scale model of the children, or of the Leopold Shack, which we call the Children Shack, which we use to teach children about recycling and conservation. So he's influenced greatly our philosophies and our mission.
Yes, I actually have visited your center when I was working with the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo, Wisconsin. On this Earth Day, what is it that you would like people to think most about?
I guess I would like to think about the choices that they are making, from everyday energy conservation to the laws and the people that we elect to create those laws and I guess those would be the main things. Every day, and voting as well, as was mentioned earlier, that's, you know, very key in who we put into office.
Okay, great. And also, if people wish to contact you, how can they do so?
They can call us at area code 608-221-0404 or check us out on our website, www.naturenet.com/ALNC.
Well, great. Thanks so much for taking the time to call in here on the Wild Side News. And do return and tell your friends. This is a way for all of us to stay connected. Okay, we have our next caller. I'm sorry. Our next caller is Dr. Michael Washburn from Washington, D.C. Dr. Washburn, greetings on this Earth Day. Tell us a little bit about the Forest Stewardship, your organization, Forest Stewardship.
I will, Sydney. Thank you. Good morning. And I'm actually calling you from Minneapolis, Minnesota this morning, where it's 55 degrees and beautiful blue sky.
Great.
So perfect Earth Day morning. I'm Vice President of Marketing for the Forest Stewardship Council. We are an international nonprofit that addresses forestry issues by setting voluntary standards for companies in terms of how they manage their forests. We set those standards with respect to environmental performance and social issues so that where logging happens around the world, it's done in a way that protects the vital forest values that we care about and also makes sure that the communities and the people who depend on those forests are treated fairly and with respect as logging takes place. A lot of people don't realize that logging is still associated with a lot of habitat destruction and water pollution, and in some cases even displacement of native tribes around the world, and we're working very hard to try to mediate some of those negative impacts.
How are you penetrating into the forest industry products in terms of your mission to try to bring about sustainable and healthy forests?
Well, important in our system, Sydney, is that we're non-regulatory, we're non-governmental, so we actually use the marketplace as a tool to try to encourage companies to do the right thing, and the way that we do that is through what we call certification, forest certification in the first place, and then forest product certification in the second. And so if you are looking, for example, in a Home Depot for plywood or framing lumber, and you want to be sure that you're buying it from a company that has demonstrated good environmental and social performance, you would look for our certification seal. It's a distinctive sort of tree and checkmark logo with an FSC underneath it. That verifies, first of all, that forest management was done in a way consistent with our very high standards, and secondly, that that product has actually been tracked all the way from the forest to where it's actually being sold. We think that's very important for any credible certification system.
Michael, we're just about out of time. I definitely want people to be able to learn how to get to your website and contact you. Why don't you give us that information now? Because I think you're doing some great work, and I know that the people who support you are all of our friends.
Yeah, thank you. You can find us at www.fscus.org. We certify in 60 countries around the world, and we have offices in 30. So we are the premier global system for forest certification.
Thank you so much. Kathy, if you want to hold on, we can take you to the second segment here. And I encourage our listeners to call 888-327-0061 in this second segment, because now it's time for you. We'll be back in a moment on the Wild Side News.